good people who have traveled from villages near and far. Lend me your ears.
Hello? Hello? Anybody home?
What's up, Miss Tasty?
What's up, what's up?
Hi there, nice to see you. Bumblebee Tuna? Bumblebee Tuna!
Hello, West Mantooth. Hello, Evening News Team.
You are now listening to another edition of Movie Review Crew.
Welcome to the Goody Room.
But their ability to open is f***ing heroic.
And now, with your permission, I'm going to do my stuff.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to do the best I can.
All right, welcome in, everybody. This is another edition of the Movie Review Crew. I'm your host, Mike Lucas, and joining me is Aaron Kronikin.
Hello.
Brent Frugier.
Hello.
And Matt McNeil.
What's up, everybody?
Guys, we have an excellent episode, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you
say? I would say we always do.
Sam, I am. I, for some reason, I felt like I said that first line like Dr. Seuss. No.
No.
Okay, well, all right. I tried.
Might have to backpedal on the whole excellent show thing.
Yep. Fair enough. 2 seconds in, we already ruined it. I think that's a new speed run. All right, guys. Well,
no, you opened a show by saying something. What was it?
I'm
what,
Mike.
What did you say?
Welcome to Mike or something like
Hi,
that.
Hi, I said, welcome to our show. Hi, I'm Mike. And then froze.
Yep.
And then there's been dozens of times. So for anyone new to this show, we were initially called Nothing But Real Reviews and More. And we changed to Movie Review Crew. I mean, God, it's probably been 2 years ago now. But after like 6 months after the change, I was still opening the show saying Nothing But Real Reviews and More. So you're right. Maybe not a high score, but it's definitely top 10. Anyway, we have an excellent episode, guys. We have a review of Pulp Fiction. You know, I'm looking through our list. Have we done a Quentin Tarantino movie?
Did we not do Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
Yeah, I was gonna say, didn't you guys do Once Upon a Time?
Oh, you know what? I watched it after the fact. I watched it after the fact. I was not on that review. But as Quentin Tarantino, I know that a lot of you guys aren't the biggest fan, but he is considered one of the best working in Hollywood.
He doesn't have a single movie that isn't certified fresh.
That doesn't mean they're good.
Yeah, have you seen The Hateful Eight?
Hateful Eight is...
I have not seen The Hateful
Eight. Because
I, outside of this and Reservoir Dogs, I don't like Tarantino. Those are the only movies of his that I like.
Really?
He's one of those guys... Like, I will admit and acknowledge that he is very good at what he does. His style is just not something I'm into, and most of his movies are just like this. Pulp Fiction is like, yeah, it's good, but his other ones are overrated.
Interesting. You guys didn't even bring up my favorite movie of his, and I think it's his best movie, Inglourious Bastards.
No,
I didn't care for it.
Hate that movie.
I love it. It's cheesy and over the top, but it still has a really good villain. And
I mean, all of his movies are over the top. That's his style.
I know.
Yeah, that's his shtick.
But for some reason, Inglourious Bastards just hits different. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, so let's start.
As the youngins would say, hold on, I'm not done with this dumb joke. As the youngins would say, it makes me want to pop a chalky milk and make the pain go away.
I don't know what that means.
It means he wants a pop of chalky milk, man. Exactly what he said.
Dude, TikTok culture is ruining my brain. Not that my brain wasn't ruined in the first place, but TikTok culture is ruining my brain.
Okay, so I'm going through his filmography here. And again, I can acknowledge that most of, if not all of these, are very well-made movies. Right. But Reservoir Dogs, I like. Okay. Pulp Fiction, I like. Mm-hmm. Jackie Brown is, there's parts. Too long.
I heard that is his highest rated one, if I'm not correct.
It's very good, but Kill Bill. I hate the Kill Bill movies.
Thank you.
I can't stand them.
Those are two of the worst movies I've ever seen, and I've seen the Star Wars prequels.
Death Proof is really dumb.
I don't. I haven't seen
those three. That's part of the Grindhouse thing. It was the
The second half of that feature.
Yeah, with what's his name, Rodriguez.
Robert Rodriguez.
Yeah.
Okay. To be fair, let's pause. I'm gonna pause on this really quick. Robert Rodriguez is a really weird enigma of himself anyway.
Yes.
Because he does things and then he does like
Lava
good things.
Girl and Shark Boy or whatever.
Yeah. Like the Spy Kids series, and you're like, what?
Yeah, at work yesterday, the guys like to watch movies, and we put on a movie that was on Netflix called Shorts, and it was kind of like a kid's movie, and at the end it was like directed and produced by Robert Rodriguez, and I was like, wait a minute, what?
Yeah. He's an interesting cat. He has a whole book about how he made his first movie, and he literally, like, the most shoestring budget. Everybody on the set was a volunteer. He had to go like to a scrapyard to get one of like a prop tub for some of the scenes, and fascinating dude. But about Grindhouse, I haven't seen it, but I think that idea in today's world is kind of cool, like having a double feature with like Edgar Wright directed like one of the commercials or whatever in the middle
of
it.
And actually, to me, the best part were those little short trailers.
I think that's A, super cool, but B, like, that's playing within the genre of film. So I like what these guys are doing. Anyway, go on. What else is that?
Okay, so after Death Proof and Glorious Bastards, I just hate that movie.
Same.
I think Brad Pitt is awful in that movie.
Friggin' love it. It's so, his accent goes in and out. So bad. And I think it's so, oh, anyway, go ahead.
Django Unchained, I don't like.
I also hated that movie.
Hateful Eight is very, very bad.
I haven't seen Hateful Eight. I don't mind Django. It's, I don't know. They do some cool things in that, like because Django was a 70s movie, 60s movie, something like that. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And he makes an appearance, and he talks with Jamie Foxx in the movie. Quentin Tarantino knows what he's doing, and I appreciate it.
I'm not arguing that.
I know.
My argument is that I don't like a lot of his movies, and I don't understand the love for them. Quentin Tarantino might be the most knowledgeable person about past Hollywood and just these little tiny forgotten actors and movies and TV series. And he brings these little nods and winks to old Hollywood into his movies, but that does not make his movies good.
No, a fair point. But I think like having that knowledge, like paying homage to all of these things is cool.
And, it is cool. And we'll talk about it in Pulp Fiction. He does a lot of the style and format and whatever the graphic, the letters across the screen or whatever, the intro, the title and card,
title
and
sequence,
actors' names. And, it's all really cool throwbacks, and it worked in Pulp Fiction, but it just feels like he's kind of like, oh gosh, what's his name? Oh boy.
Oh yeah. What's his name?
Tim Burton. Where it's like, okay, I get it. That people love this, but it's all samey. Every movie he does is the same shtick.
Well, no, because hear me out. We're not done going through his filmography yet. So let's not forget about
that. No, after Django was Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, or after Hateful Eight was Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which I enjoyed.
Which I hated. I didn't understand it. The ending of that movie is absolutely wild.
Yeah, but
which
you
I
admitted
loved.
During the review that you did not know that Sharon Tate died.
Sorry.
He laughs out loud and says, sorry.
Because the entire tension of the movie is based on that series of events. Of course you didn't.
How am I supposed to know that?
Because that was a big thing, man.
How am I supposed to know that?
It's a big thing, man.
Because like that was like one, that was like the Manson murder.
Yep.
Okay,
Mike Watch is Saving Private Ryan. He's like, I didn't know the Allies won.
Right.
I thought the
next year
there was a Second World War.
No. Next, you're gonna tell me Princess Diana, isn't alive and thriving.
Maybe she's on an island with
Tupac.
Tupac and Elvis.
You know? And John Ritter. I think John Ritter is on that island too.
So, okay, but I don't want to skip over this because you said this. He does the same style and shtick in every single movie. A lot of really good directors do.
Yes.
Edgar Wright does that.
Edgar Wright is not so in your face.
Oh, are you kidding? Are you kidding? His entire thing is like, boom, pow, in your face. Like, the sound effects of things that don't have sound effects have sound effects.
Okay, Edgar Wright hasn't made a good movie since...
Oh, you're high.
Shaun of the Dead or Hot Fuzz, whichever one was last.
You're high. Baby Driver's fantastic. Actually,
Aaron has a point there.
No. Oh, my God. I'm gonna smack some of you.
Baby Driver sucks, period. No, it doesn't. It's doesn't. Terrible.
It doesn't.
Oh, good editing does not make a good movie. It's a terribly acted movie.
Okay, it's an okayly acted movie. That's not the point of that movie, though. It's a heist movie with a good storyline. We're not arguing about Baby Driver. We have a whole review on it. What else has he done?
Scott Pilgrim was great.
Yep.
Wasn't that after?
Yeah, it was. So since 2010, he hasn't made a good movie.
I haven't seen The World's End.
It's terrible.
The worst of those three, because Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz are all supposed to be like a trilogy, and that is by far the worst.
I think I made Laura watch Shaun of the Dead. I wonder if we've seen Hot Fuzz. Maybe we'll go through those together. Anyway, what are we talking about? Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah, his style is just not my thing.
Fair enough. I feel like I've been arguing with Aaron about this, but Brent and Matt, do you guys have opinions on the matter?
What about Edgar Wright? Yeah, I said that Aaron has.
Oh my God. Quentin Tarantino, you dingus.
Oh, well, I mean, I've already said that I only enjoy Pulp Fiction and Reservoir Dogs.
Okay.
I don't like his other movies. To be fair, I haven't seen Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and I haven't seen Hateful Eight, but I've seen all of his other movies, and I think that all of them are very well-made trash.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Yes.
Matt, also, if you... I don't think you should see Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Yes, it was up for an Oscar, the whole thing. I don't think it's the most interesting movie, but it might change your opinion if you know that Sharon Tate died.
Matt, have you ever heard of this guy, this Manson guy?
Yeah.
He did some stuff.
Apparently, okay? He's a wild man. You might
look it up.
Yeah. So just go into the movie knowing that might change how you view it. Oh, my God. Is he... I feel like an idiot sometimes.
Oh, you are. So.
Brent, what about you? Is it a style thing? Do you?
I don't know. Wait, I don't hate him, but I don't really love him either. It's just kind of movie to movie. Like Pulp Fiction, like I like that movie. Inglourious Basterds, I didn't mind. But then like movies like Hateful Eight, I hate it, and it made me hate him for a little bit.
Wow.
So like I said, I don't hate him, but I don't love him either. It's a case by case thing with him.
Fair enough.
Brent put Tarantino in timeout after we watched Hateful Eight.
Right? So
you go sit out
go think about what you've done.
sit up. Oh my God, I just sounded like an Australian. I'm gonna go have a walkabout. Jesus. All right, guys, let's move on, because we do have a review of Pulp Fiction on the second half of our show. I know we already talked about it for the intro portion, but let's get into what we've seen lately real quick. So, Aaron, have you seen anything new in the past week or so?
No, still reading the Dune books. I'm about halfway through the third. I have been watching some Raised by Wolves on HBO Max. It's very good.
That's one with Costner and Tatanka.
Nope. Different one. No, this one, they're raised by wolves. There's no dancing.
My bad. I must have seen the musical version.
Yeah. There was the musical remake with Kevin Costner. Yes.
Could you imagine? I would be so down to see that just for the audio of it.
I imagine he sings, his talent for singing is somewhere in the same realm as Russell Crowe.
I was thinking the same thing. I was thinking the same thing. That's so
funny. I don't know if it can be that bad.
Anyway, so nothing else, really?
No, just catching up on some series and reading a lot.
All right, fair enough. Brent, what about you?
I really haven't watched too much lately either. Like I said, most of the movies that I've seen has been when I've been at work.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I have to go do stuff to go help the guys in whatever movie they're watching. So I'll catch pieces here or there.
Yeah.
Before we did get on air and start talking, I did mention that The Mummy with Brendan Fraser is on HBO Max. And I really like Brendan Fraser and I love that movie. So I'm probably going to be watching that one again soon.
Man, so I watched that movie about a month, 2 months ago, because Shlee also really loves that movie. And man, it does not hold up very well.
Well, maybe like what, the special effects or
just the movie in general?
I don't know. Brendan Fraser, I don't know. I always liked Brendan Fraser. Like he has like a charm and charisma about him in like some of those movies in like the 90s and early 2000s that I think just really draws people to him.
He was hilarious and Bedazzled?
Bedazzled, yeah.
Oh,
you gotta give 110%.
Oh yeah, no, Brendan Fraser's great. I love Brendan Fraser, but man, it's a lot cornier than I remember, and it was already pretty corny to begin with.
That's the lovely part of that movie. That's why it's such a good guilty pleasure movie.
Still not as bad as The Mummy Returns, though.
Is that the one with The Rock?
Yes, that's the one where they have the terrible CGI rock scorpion monster at the end of it.
For any movie buffs out there, I think it's called The Corridor Crew. We've talked about them a few times on the show, but they went back and they re-CGI'd over that. They did like a facial recognition of The Rock since then. And then they
changed the texture of the whole thing so it wasn't rubbery.
And it looks 20 times better. It was really cool to see because it was like it made this like $2 budget thing into something that actually looked passable. So
yeah, they do a lot of good stuff. Yeah. And they have a lot of content.
I'm gonna have to go check that out.
They have visual effects artists on there and they go through movie scenes and kind of explain what's going on with it. They have stunt men and stunt women on their show to explain stunts and how they happen. And, you know, it's really interesting stuff.
Yeah. Very, very interesting web series that they've produced. And again, it's called Corridor Crew. Free shout out to them. Matt, or what have you seen lately?
I haven't been watching anything. But there are a lot of movies coming out this year that I want to see, so I'll probably have to pull the trigger on HBO Max.
Yeah.
Just so I can see movies without having to go to the theater.
Is that just because HBO Max is going to be getting a lot more of these theater releases, or?
Yeah, they got the WB movies coming out, like the Godzilla versus Kong. It will be on HBO. The Little Things was already on there. Hopefully Dune, which there's still, I think, a legal battle going on there.
Are they?
Yeah, there's a few. Like I looked up the release schedule for this year, and there's a few of them that are coming out on HBO.
Mortal Kombat.
Oh, yep.
Who's in that?
Nobody.
Well, sure they may be. There's a lot of foreign actors. They may be famous, but I don't know them. So.
Fair enough.
Who knows?
All right. Well, maybe I liked having HBO back in the day when we were watching Game of Thrones. So maybe I'll convince.
I did the 6 months, 20% off. And
what's it break down a month?
I think it's like $13 a month, something like that.
It's a little more expensive.
But it's the content, man. I have so many things in my list queued up to watch. It's pretty fantastic.
Yeah. HBO is a good one. I still think Netflix is doing just fine. Like, I like a lot of their content.
We use Netflix mostly. They have a ton of kids stuff.
Yeah. That's where
also have the Amazon Prime PBS kids stuff. So,
Has anyone used Peacock yet?
Nope.
No.
Yeah, I haven't.
Like, when it first came out, like, there was like a free version of it that I would watch like old episodes of Psych on, but I haven't been on it since. For a few months. So I don't know what they still have on there or not.
I think it's still free. I think it just has ads, right?
Well, I think it's free, but then you can pay for it to unlock more content.
Or something like that. Interesting. Interesting. Maybe that's worth checking into. As for me, I really haven't seen a whole lot either. I feel like we're all in a rut right now. It keeps snowing. It's bitterly cold. Like, we're just not watching a whole lot of content. I'm still watching Mad Men. It's a good show. But otherwise, no movies.
St. Maud came out, and I'm still trying to find a way to see that.
Oh, did it finally come out?
It did, and I'm not going to go to the theaters to see it, so unfortunately, and I think it was on Epic's streaming thing, which I'm not paying for another streaming thing.
Oh, so, no, absolutely not.
I wish it was available somewhere else.
So that
the second it becomes available on Prime, I will watch it.
I mean, we've been looking forward to that movie for so long.
Also, that shows the power of Tom Hanks for Aaron, because he went out of his way to get the Apple streaming service just so he could watch.
I did a free trial, okay? And I canceled it right away because the rest of their content sucked.
But the point is, you went out of your way to get the Apple thing to watch Greyhound.
I will also say, the power of Tom Hanks could not overcome the $20 price tag to watch News of the World. even with my love for Tom Hanks, I'm like, no, $20? Hell no.
That's crazy.
I mean, that's about a movie theater ticket.
Well, sure, but
without the movie theater amenities, I could
wait a few months and probably rent it for $6.
That's fair.
Yep. Speaking of renting things, no one had to rent this movie. Is it time to watch a review of Pulp Fiction?
Seamless transition.
Fantastic segue.
Thank you. Is it time though?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Pulp Fiction from 1994. That's the year after I was born.
Wait, hold on. Can I have to bring this up. Before we get into this, I don't want to get too far in. Because, first of all, number one, I lied. Apparently, St. Maud comes out on the 12th, not the 6th. So, it's not quite out yet. It is on Epic's Now app. And there's an interesting... this is a wild world we live in. If you order Domino's pizza, you get instant access to Epics Now for 30 days. Oh. So you can order a pizza and watch St. Maud.
I might do that.
I'm definitely doing that.
That sounded a lot like an ad there, Aaron.
Listen, I think it's just ridiculous. Because I'm clicking on this. I'm reading this article and it's like, try Epics Now app. So I click on it and it's... current offers, and it's like, what does it say here? Okay, looking for access to Epics Now? Pizza required.
Okay.
Oh my God. I was gonna cut this out because you were like, hold on, but I think I'm gonna keep it in the podcast because it's so silly.
Well, yeah, and we don't want to spread misinformation,
right? So
I think the movie's out right now. So
fair enough. That's so funny. Two things, not sponsored by Domino's, but,
no,
but your boy might have to get a pizza because I
Domino's,
do
please
love
give
me
us free stuff.
Yeah, I love Domino's. I hate to
we'll
say
we'll give
it,
you free stuff. Free Epics Now for 30 days.
That's funny. Also, I saw a TikTok. I learned a lot from TikTok, which is kind of crazy, but the guy was saying Domino's has had a better stock in the past decade than Microsoft and Apple, and it was like three insane tech companies that everybody holds the pinnacle.
Based on what, like percentage growth?
Percentage growth, I think, yeah. It was like interesting. Or if you invested the same amount of money in both, you would have had higher dividends from Domino's.
It is interesting. Not to get into it, but Domino's is like the last choice for pizza for me.
No,
really?
Dude, they've gotten so much better.
Have
they?
Pizza.
They've
yeah.
gotten so much better, especially in the past like 5 or 6 years, because they had awful pizza. God,
oh,
we're just talking about Domino's.
I know what I'm doing on the 12th.
Started to a Domino's.
Yeah, like back
commercial.
In the back in like the early 2000s, like you could eat a Domino's pizza and then eat the box that it came in and not know the difference. But now is some good ass pizza,
dude. Is Godfather's local, or is that like a nationwide thing?
I don't know, man. I didn't mean to go down.
No. I want to show you my tier list, because it's Godfather's, Papa John's, and then Domino's, and then Pizza Hut and Little Caesars and any other pizza chain.
I think Godfather's is nationwide. Their headquarters is here. That's all I know.
I think they might be a regional thing. Right? I don't know. It doesn't matter.
Buddy,
Anybody listening in Epics. California, email us and let us know if there's a Godfathers out there.
Yeah, of course there's a Godfathers. Or Giordano's. Anyway, let's... All right, Pulp Fiction. Yeah. Pulp Fiction. Yeah, dude, pizza sounds so good. Super Bowl. Could get one for the Super Bowl. Pulp Fiction, 1994, rated R, 2 hours, 34 minutes, crime drama film. The lives of two mob hitmen, a boxer, a gangster, and his wife, and a pair of diner bandits intertwine in four tales of violence and redemption. Written and directed by Quentin Tarantino, along with Roger Avery and Quentin Tarantino. God damn it, IMDb. He has two writing credits on this movie. Starring John Travolta, Uma Thurman, Samuel L. Jackson, Tim Roth,
Bruce Willis.
Ving Rhames. I was going to say Bruce Willis.
Yeah, B. Willie. Who, Shane.
Christopher Walken.
Phil Lamar.
Steve Buscemi was the diner, whatever you want to call it, server.
Interesting. Shane sent us a message in our group chat with what Bruce Willis been up to, and boy, that movie is like straight to VHS.
Straight to the garbage bin is what
basically,
that is.
Yeah, it looks interesting. On Rotten Tomatoes, Pulp Fiction gets a 92% certified fresh from critics, giving it a score of 9.2 out of 10. Audience score of 96%, giving it a 4.6 out of 5. There's no critics consensus.
I lied.
There it is. Sorry. They moved it. Bro, I don't... You know what? It's fine. One of the most influential films of the 1990s, Pulp Fiction is a delirious postmodern mix of neo-noir thrills, pitch-black humor, and pop culture touchstones. How did I read that?
Well.
And not mess it up.
Yeah, you got through the whole thing without mispronouncing a single word.
Guys, I said, hold on, let me... Pulp Fiction is a delirious postmodern mix of neo-noir thrills. I couldn't do that again if I tried.
You just did.
Fair enough.
I was waiting for the mess up the second time, though.
I kind of was, too, though. But no, that's... let's just give me a round of applause, because we're learning things, guys. We're learning things. All right. Who picked...
Hooked on Phonics, really paying off.
Yeah, I know, dude. And that Rosetta Stone, you know.
You got the Rosetta English? Stone for English.
Yeah.
Yep, makes sense.
Matt, you picked Pulp Fiction.
I did.
Why?
Well, basically, I mean, it was something in our chat. I don't remember what it was, because I was thinking of a movie to pick, and then somebody said something.
Shane sent that image of all these super iconic movies.
Oh, that's right. That's
and
right,
it was like
right.
Pick three, and it's a really tough choice, but this was on there.
Yep, that's what caused it.
All right, and so you've everybody's obviously seen this more than once.
Oh yes. Yeah.
Okay. We'll go ahead and give me your first thoughts this go around, starting with Matt.
So I still really like this movie. It is by far Quentin Tarantino's best movie. I think this is the movie that put Quentin Tarantino on the map. And this is the movie that put Samuel L. Jackson on the map, as far as I'm concerned. And this is like his breakout role. This is what a lot of people know him for.
And it revived Travolta's career.
Yes, it did. It revived Travolta's career. I will say it's on this watch through, it felt a little longer than it normally does. I mean, it 2.5 hours, like I actually took notice that it was a 2.5 hour movie. I never noticed that before.
Yeah. I don't think it didn't earn the runtime, but it did feel every bit of the runtime.
And a lot of it is like Quentin Tarantino does this in all of his movies, where he puts in just a lot of really unnecessary conversation that goes on for a little too long, which I think is where a lot of this runtime comes from. But other than that, it's one of my favorite movies I won't say infinitely quotable, but it's very quotable, and there's a lot of memes that have spawned from this movie, so it's definitely like a cultural milestone for sure.
Interesting. Brent, what about?
Oh, go ahead, Brent. Yeah, sorry.
No, this is my favorite Tarantino movie by far. And talk about how it helped Samuel Jackson and John Travolta's career. Bruce Willis, like, he was still big at this point, but he had had a couple flops before this. So yep. It kind of saved him from having a bunch of flops in a row and kind of having the career he has now sooner.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Bruce Willis. Aaron, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, just echo their comments. This is my favorite Tarantino movie. It is like his other movies, and in like Matt said, just filled with this seemingly unnecessary dialogue, but he does circle back on a lot of these little tidbits of dialogue. It's like four different stories that are barely connected but are somehow connected, and there's really no, like, the overarching plot, all of it seems, I don't want to say pointless, like there's no point to it, but it's just kind of these similar with Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, just a series of events that happen. There's no real, it just doesn't follow the same flow of a movie as most movies do, but I really enjoy this movie.
All right. So tell me about that. Like, what do you like about it? Is it the acting? Is it the actual story that's a non-story for you?
It's a lot of these quirky characters. The dialogue is very Tarantino, where it's not, it doesn't feel normal. It's not like a conversation you feel like you would hear in real life, but it's still fun and it feels smart. The characters are all interesting.
Yeah, like the whole conversation between John Travolta and Uma Thurman at the diner, like, people don't talk that way, but it fits in the movie.
Yeah, exactly. The feeling that he, I don't know, because it is kind of this intentional, like a very good B movie feel, mm-hmm. but. I don't know how to describe it. It feels like shouldn't be as good as it is.
It's the best way that I can describe it is, like, think of Shyamalan dialogue, but it actually works.
Yes.
Interesting. I didn't watch this movie this time around, but something that you said, Aaron, made me think of this. Aaron Sorkin, who is, I think, an incredible screenwriter, I think he applauded Tarantino because it's like when you're writing dialogue for a film, you're not writing it to be realistic. You're writing it to get your points across in a way that the audience won't really notice. And I don't know if that's how you felt about this movie or not.
Yes and no. A lot of it, I feel, doesn't really have a point.
That's yeah.
Interesting.
Like, there's like a 5-minute conversation at the beginning of the movie between John Travolta and Samuel Jackson about foot massages. It's like there's no point to it. Like, it serves no narrative purpose.
Well, it does, because I mean, you got John Travolta later who has to take this woman out, and so he knows, like, okay, I don't want to do anything to make Marcellus Wallace mad, but mm-hmm. so I mean, he knows that there's some sort of boundaries he has to follow.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I mean when I say it doesn't feel like a real conversation that would happen, but it does serve the story, because instead of showing or some goofy exposition about, oh, this guy's bad news, don't cross him, they use this funny tidbit about him throwing somebody out a window because he gave his wife a foot massage. So then you know, okay, you better not have any missteps when you're mm-hmm. Tasked with keeping an eye on his wife. So it's like, I don't know. That's what I mean by it feels smart, but at the same time, it never feels very real.
Interesting.
And the whole Vincent and, what's the other guy? What's Sam Jackson's? Jules, the whole storyline between, like, it all revolves around this MacGuffin in a suitcase that we never find out what it is. We never, it's just a tool to get them from one scenario to another that, like Matt said, it all feels like filler. None of it feels necessary, but it all fits together somehow.
Interesting.
Marcellus Wallace has stolen the suitcase. That's one of the big theories.
It's his soul?
Yeah, because he sold it to the devil and got it back, I guess, somehow or something like that.
I read that, yeah. Originally, they were just going to have it be diamonds, but then they're like, no, that's too cliche. And so they just didn't ever mention what was in it.
Yeah, but there's theories going around, and that's one of the big ones.
Interesting.
The other big one is it's the whatever, I forget, what are they still, diamonds or something like that in Reservoir Dogs? And that's what's in the suitcase.
Interesting.
Yeah, very interesting.
But what was actually in the suitcase was just a light bulb.
Right.
Yep. They got that glow.
Exactly.
Gold light bulb, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. All right, so tell me more about the film. Like, what did you guys enjoy? The set pieces, go through the actors.
So it's a really weird, because the movie's told out of order, right? So it's kind of difficult to talk about the story because it jumps around. So it starts off at the end, and then it kind of backs up a little bit to the Jules and Vincent stuff. And then it kind of follows that storyline up through where Uma Thurman ODs because she snorts heroin, thinking it was cocaine.
And then it goes past the point of where we started. Like, it's just a goofy time thing going on because we get, like, the whole Bruce Willis thing happens after the diner scene.
Yep.
So, I don't know.
Is it hard to follow?
It's non-linear. Like I said, sorry, go ahead.
No, he asked if it was hard to follow, and I was just going to say, not really, because I think they do a good enough job at, you know, separating the little mini stories and combining it into a big story.
I think maybe the first time you watch it, it can be a little disjoint, like it can feel weird, because you get to the Bruce Willis storyline and he ends up killing John Travolta. Spoiler
alert. This movie's 25 years old.
But yeah, so Bruce Willis kills John Travolta, and then, like, in the next scene, John Travolta's alive again. So if it's your first time watching the movie, it's like, wait, what?
And little things like when they show up to Wallace's bar or wherever he is that he's having the conversation with Bruce Willis, they walk in those ridiculous clothes, and they're like, oh, it's a long story. And then we find out why they ended up in these ridiculous clothes and not wearing their suits, but it's shown later, but it happened earlier.
Best segment of the entire movie, in my opinion.
Oh, no. Best segment, hands down, Christopher Walken's monologue. Oh,
okay,
holding a watch of his ass.
That is the best part of the movie, you're right.
I don't know if I've seen this movie through ever, but I have seen that Christopher Walken scene so many times because it's so stupid.
I hid this uncomfortable hunk of metal up my ass for 2 years.
And that's the only part of the movie he's in. He comes in for that one scene and then you never see him again.
So good.
So funny.
But again, a seemingly useless, silly filler conversation that tells you so much about why Bruce Willis cares about that watch, because that's a big part of the story later. But while you're watching it, it's like, how does this fit into what we've already seen? There's no point to this, but then it comes back and you're like, okay, makes sense.
And I think, if I remember correctly, and I could be wrong about this, but I think this movie held the Guinness World Record for most curse words in a movie until South Park went and broke it.
I think you're right. Later. Yeah. Most F-bombs or whatever.
Well, and especially now, I mean, it's always been a critique of Tarantino, but how he just throws around the N-word like it's
nothing
okay to use that much in normal conversation. And especially cringy when it's Tarantino delivering it. Like, it just seems unnecessary. Yeah, and it
does
all the time.
Yeah. I was going to say, I think the only movie of his, I guess there's two movies that like, maybe he could get away with it. Either like Inglourious Basterds, which fair, or
Django.
Yep.
Part of that history, but
yeah. Well, that's what I was going with, the Nazism.
Yeah, this takes place like in the 70s.
No, I think it takes place in the, it's in the 90s.
Yeah,
so he has definitely a cell phone.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, so yeah, wait, like 30 years removed from the civil rights movement, like the people weren't just casually throwing that word around.
Well, I mean, they might have been, but in the situations in this movie, I don't think they were.
Not in California, they weren't.
Yeah.
Like, when Tarantino's in the scene saying it, and he's like, oh, do I have that on my lawn? Yeah. Do I have that? Like, he's not, nobody's going to say that. Like, especially to the character that's Jules. Like, Jules is this guy who, like, kills people. Like, you're not going to just throw around the N-word to him.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's interesting people out there in the world.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, the Tarantino, that scene is probably my least favorite scene, just because I think that Tarantino should stay out of his own movies. Oh. He's a much better director than he is, yes, an actor.
What is he in every single movie that he does?
Yeah.
Was he in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
I'm trying to think, and I don't think he was, unless he was some sort of extra in some of the
background scene or something.
I can't think of a scene that he was in.
I mean, maybe he finally learned his lesson.
Probably, because it usually is like a jarring shift in acting ability, because he usually does have some very good actors, and even the ones that aren't very good actors give very good performances in his movies, and then it's him. Like, it's him and Harvey Keitel. One of those doesn't do as good as the other.
Yeah, Harvey Keitel was kind of bad in this movie.
Exactly.
No, he is actually probably one of the most interesting characters in the movie.
Who's Harvey Keitel?
The wolf.
He was...
Oh, yeah.
The guy who helps clean up, basically.
Yeah, that's right.
When they just shot that throwaway character's head off in the
Oh man! I shot Marvin in the face. That might be one of my favorite lines in the movie. Just how
casual. And then he tries to blame it on Jules for hitting a bump. I don't want to say it's all fun, but it's fun because of how it's filmed and how the dialogue is quirky and.
And I will say, I think that's probably why this is my favorite movie of Tarantino's, because the comedy just, it works.
Yes.
It does something for me, because everything's so, it's stated just so matter of fact that like you can't help but laugh at it. Man, I just shot Marvin in the face.
Scenes that you shouldn't be laughing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like the scene when Bruce Willis's character and Marcellus get strapped to chairs, and then Marcellus gets raped, and Bruce Willis comes in with a samurai sword. And
well,
after all that
even
happens,
before that, just... even before that, like when he's upstairs and he's like going through the pawn shop, and he picks up a hammer, and then he looks over and he puts the hammer down, and then he picks up a baseball bat, and then he looks over and he puts the baseball bat down, and then he picks up a chainsaw. It just
all the
escalating.
While Marcellus is downstairs getting raped, and he's taking his sweet time picking the right weapon. But so it's like, and then after he goes down and saves him, it's just this awkward silence as the other guy's screaming on the floor because he got shot. And Bruce Willis is just standing there, and he turns to Marcellus. He's like, "You okay?" It's like, what an absurd reaction. What an absurd thing to say. But I don't know.
Interesting.
It just doesn't seem like it should be as good as it is, because none of this, again, it all fits, it all works, it all tells a story, but it all seems disjointed, but somehow he makes it fit together.
Interesting. Let me ask you this. Would you put this on like a must watch list?
Yes.
Yeah.
Probably.
Do you think you were influenced by the Rotten Tomatoes scores, or being, it's what, eighth on IMDb's list?
Yeah, number eight.
Is it really?
I wouldn't call it the eighth best movie I've ever seen in my life, but, and I saw this, oh, I don't know, long ago, and it just stands out. It really does. It stands out from other movies.
Yeah. I don't think scores and ratings really affect how I view, because the first time I saw this, the internet wasn't even a thing yet.
Okay. So, well,
it was. It just wasn't.
Yeah, the internet as we know it.
Right. The internet wasn't widely available to everyone.
Yeah.
To say that.
Yeah.
You had to pop in your 30-minute free trial AOL CD into your computer to. Well, and I'm dating myself. That's how old I am.
Oh, lucky. I have to date Laura.
I get it. Matt's dating himself.
That was the best joke you've ever told.
All right. Where are we in the show? Is there more you guys want to talk about?
What's everybody's favorite line from the movie?
Royale with cheese.
For real? That's your favorite line?
I didn't watch it this time around, man. So I'm not refreshed, but that's the one that sticks out when they have that whole conversation. Yeah. And Jules goes on that very biblical verse before he shoots the man or whatever.
Yeah, I'm trying
to think. Which is not an actual Bible verse.
I know. I tried looking it up. It's not. I don't think it's a real one.
I mean, Ezekiel 25:17 exists, but it's not that.
Interesting. Interesting. But yes, that's probably my favorite scene, and there's a couple good lines in there. Say what again? I dare you. Yeah. I double
they speak
dare
English
you.
And what?
Yep. What? Matt, what about you? What's your favorite line?
Probably, I just shot Marvin in the face.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean that. Oh, man. I feel like that probably is one of the most memorable ones. Like Royale with cheese is rememberable just because people say that all the time, but like I just shot Marvin in the face, like when people talk about Pulp Fiction, like that's one of the scenes that kind of just come into my head is
yeah
that just because of the
check out the big brain on bread.
Pretty much anything that comes out of Sam Jackson's mouth in this movie.
Yeah, that's true.
With the like mini story, or I guess like little individual stories of it though, like which one do you guys would say is your favorite? It's just me being curious there.
The that whole bit with the wolf is probably my favorite.
So I think that would be.
I think that's the funniest
situation.
Yeah, the Bonnie situation. I think that's the funniest one.
Sorry. Oh, sorry. Cut you off there. No, I didn't mean to cut you off there. I was like, that's kind of more of like the. Would that be considered like the Jules story? Because that's when he starts talking about him trying to change his life, right?
Yeah. Jules is the protagonist of that one.
Yeah, I think that one's good, and I like the Bruce Willis one. I think the worst one is the John Travolta and Uma Thurman one. Like,
yes, I agree.
Like,
but and even that one's still pretty good.
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't think it like necessarily holds up to the rest of it.
Oh, it definitely doesn't. Like that whole part, that story, is mostly boring. And then it like kicks into high gear as soon as she ODs. Cause then he like that whole scene where he's taking her to his drug dealer's house so they can give her the adrenaline shot. Like that's one of the funniest bits in this movie. Cause he's teaching John Travolta how to do it. And he's like, I got to stab her 3 times. And he's like, no, just.
Yeah. Like I said, that one, I get, you know, there's some stuff that's in that comes in later in the movie that you kind of need, I guess, but I almost feel like they could have cut that whole story out and the movie would have been just as good.
I don't know about cutting it out, but they definitely could have trimmed it down.
Yeah. I think it's not necessarily one of the chapters of the movie, but I think the whole sequence in the diner is maybe my favorite between the robbers and Jules has his, change of heart and he wants to make the world a better place and Vincent comes out and he's like, Jules, if you give that guy money, I'm going to shoot him out of general principle. That might be one of my favorite lines. I can't remember what the amount is, but like $1,500.
$1,500,
yeah. Yeah, he's like, you give him $1,500, I'm going to shoot him out of general principle. That's just, I like that bit, how Jules is trying to calm everybody down. Everybody's going nuts.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's all I got. I was just curious about what your guys' was on ideas on that.
I dig it. Guys, I think we're at the point where we are probably ready to rate it, unless you have anything else you want to talk about. I know we didn't really touch on music a whole lot in this.
There's
in this
not a whole lot of it.
And none of it's like original music, I don't think. It's all songs Tarantino picked, which do fit. Like the intro, the way it opens.
Well, actually, so I wanted to talk about that because it's interesting, and I didn't do any research for this, but in Inglourious Basterds, one of the songs that Tarantino uses to introduce Christoph Waltz's character Hans is a song. It's the main theme from a movie about a ghost that rapes people, I think, and so it's interesting that he chose that song to introduce Hans in Inglourious Basterds. So I wonder if there were other things like that where he, you know, because Tarantino does that. He picks these very niche things, these very one-off things, and he reuses them. And I wonder if there was anything like that. But you know, we just
I'm sure there. I mean, he's
probably,
like I said, I don't necessarily like him, but he knows what he's doing, and what he does for a reason, whether people know it or not.
Yeah, the music that he picks is all very good, but most of the movie, there's no music. It's just talking, or he'll do like a really long tracking shot, and it's just 5 minutes of Bruce Willis walking to his apartment, and there's no music.
Yeah. I wonder, like, would you say that Quentin Tarantino is the most intentional director with everything he does?
Sure, every director is.
Sure, but the most.
I wouldn't say that.
Interesting. Okay. I'm just picking your brain. Interesting.
Tarantino likes to pat himself on the back and reveal these little details. And you know, maybe he's the most well known for that because he likes to tell everybody in every interview how much he knows about movies.
All right, fair enough.
My movie knowledge is very big.
Yep.
Let's rate it then. All right, guys. Who wants to go first? Matt, you picked it. Do you want to go first or last?
Sure. Yeah, I can kick it off. Okay. So overall, 8.75. It's a very good movie. I think that it does drag a little bit. The Uma Thurman stuff could have been cut down. Some of the conversations could have been cut down to make it not a 2.5 hour long movie, but it's still a fantastic movie. Very quotable, very funny. If you haven't seen it, go see it. But yeah, 8.75.
All right. Aaron, what about you?
Not quite that high, but right around there. 8.5 from me. I think it probably could. I know it could have been trimmed to 2 hours and not been hurt from it. The Tarantino scene with him acting is pretty bad in an otherwise really great scene. But and there are problems, but it overall is a very good, obviously an iconic movie and, in my opinion, a must see.
All right. 8.5, you said?
Yeah, I think I'm right with Aaron, and I'll give it 8.5 royales with cheese.
Nice. Good choice.
I tried.
All right, so final score then. We're looking at 8.59. Does anyone want to guess where that lands on our all-time list?
Top 50.
Yeah, I was going to say 50. We've done a lot of good ones.
So by the way, guys, that is an top A-. 8.59. Would you say, Brent, top 47?
Top 47.
It is number 42.
Wow.
Number 42. Which is kind of crazy because we consider that an A-, which I think is fair. Let's play a quick little game. We have a little bit of time left. Quick little game. This or Fargo?
Fargo.
I think I go this.
Whichever one I haven't seen recently.
Fair enough. This or The Truman Show.
This.
Oh, The Truman Show.
This or Deadpool.
This.
Deadpool.
I think I might go with Deadpool.
This or First Man.
This.
First Man.
This, this or Prisoners.
This.
Prisoners.
This. It's just me and Matt are disagreeing with Aaron pretty much.
This or Jurassic Park.
Oh,
JP.
Probably Jurassic Park.
Yeah, I'd have to go that.
This or Paddleton.
I never saw that.
Oh, man. Paddleton's such a good movie, but it's a downer. Paddleton's a downer of a movie.
Oh, wait. No, was that the one with Ray Romano?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This.
Yeah, I go.
Not because of Ray Romano. I just couldn't remember what
no.
That was.
It's just
that. So you said Ray Romano.
Paddleton is a bit of a tearjerker of a movie, and I don't like those movies as much. So this.
Okay. This or Ex Machina.
That.
This.
I'd go with this.
Wow.
I liked that one, but I wasn't a huge fan of that one like you guys.
Interesting. This or Memento.
I haven't seen it.
This. I think Memento's only good the first time you watch it.
I'd say the first or the second, and the second, you know. Yeah. And after that, it's like, all right, it's a one-trick pony. Another tearjerker. This or The Big Sick?
This.
I've
not seen that one either. I
didn't see The Big Sick. What? Guys.
I mean, it's honestly, comedy. Don't waste your time.
It's not. It's a little bit of a comedy. It's like a romance. It's very good. It's very good.
Disagree.
Okay, I will say that you sent that clip. Oh, this is the best scene. And I was like, not funny. Move on.
The one with they're eating dinner or whatever.
Yeah, talking about terrorists. Like, it's just.
That's basically the whole movie.
Yeah. What? That's not. Anyway, this or Die Hard?
Die Hard.
Die Hard.
Die Hard.
All right. And the last one we'll do, this or Take Shelter.
I haven't seen that one.
All right. Guys, also, I just noticed that this is back-to-back weeks with a Sam Jackson film.
Yeah.
I just realized.
Let's keep it going, and Brent's going to pick Snakes on a Plane.
Yep. My man. Love it.
So great Sam Jackson movie.
I mean, it's fine. That's fine. Who knows? Brent, it is your pick next week. Do you have one? I know that you brought up.
I don't. I mean, I might, but I don't for sure. So we'll see.
Fair enough. The only thing that we know is we're going to get a Domino's pizza and get a free Epics trial.
I'm about to go order one right now.
Next week, I'll give you guys a short review of the Domino's pizza and St. Maude.
Love it. Looking forward to it. All right, guys. So 8.59 for Pulp Fiction, A-. Join us online at moviereviewcrew.com. You can request movies right on our homepage. We would really appreciate it, you guys, if you did that. Again, moviereviewcrew.com. Anything else, gentlemen?
No.
Nope.
Right. Someone on the show.
Tell your friends.
Let's go, but inconspicuously, through the window.
Lady, I'm afraid I'm going to have to ask you to leave the store.
Okay, that's it. Where are you guys? I'm going home.
Game over, man. Game over. What are we going to do now? What are we going to do?
Good night, and good luck.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Movie Review Crew. Remember to like us and find us on any of your favorite social media platforms, as well as go to our website, moviereviewcrew.com.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.